to their classes. And as they go, Lord Jesus, we pray your blessing upon them. We pray your blessing upon their teachers, that you will increase these children in their understanding of your love for them. Amen. Now, as we come to our sermon time together, I invite you to pray with me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we invite you to bring conviction to our hearts through your word, the living word, and initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, I'm a person who tends to have a cluttered workspace. I've been accused of being very disorganized because of my clutter. Now, I do have clutter, but I am not disorganized. In my clutter, I know where everything is. Most times. I'm careful to put things where I will remember them, and I know that they're there. Even in piles of paper, I can usually find what I'm looking for quickly. Now, I say usually because there are times when I cannot find certain things. And usually, if I cannot find them, it's because someone else moved them. I'm not going to name any names. I know where they should be. I know where they were. But when they're moved, I notice that too. I know my domain. I remember where things are. I know when things are out of place. Now, have you ever known an expert in any field? Someone with extensive training, wisdom, and experience in a particular subject or a particular trade. If you do, then you know that they notice everything, every little detail in their sphere of influence. They're attentive to the most minute details. They notice when things are out of place. They notice when things are missing or when they're not right. Now, if you think of an expert in historical artwork, they know the pieces of art that they're most familiar with. They know every detail. They can tell a forgery or an imitation or a copy very quickly. They can tell defects very quickly. Now, their gifts are like my knowing where things are on my desk, only much more sophisticated. They quickly notice every detail that untrained eyes will not see. And this brings us to the subject of our sermon this morning, the Magi. I invite you in your pew Bibles and the blue Bibles in front of you, open them, turn to the beginning of the New Testament, the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. It's on page 807. I'm going to invite you to follow along. Page 807. Today is the day in the Christian calendar marking the Epiphany, the appearance, the Epiphany of the Messiah. It marks the appearance of the long-awaited Jewish messianic king and his appearance to the nations, as represented by the visit of the Magi. And today I want you to hear three characteristics of the Magi: that they were attentive, they were persevering, and they were devoted. Three characteristics of the Magi. Now, Magi is the Greek word translated wise men in our version. Verse 1, behold, wise men from the east. That's the Greek word magi, from which we get our word magic. Magi literally means magicians, astrologers, experts in interpreting omens, signs, and understanding the stars. Now, we don't know how many magi were in this group, but we can assume, due to their wealth and the length of their journey from Persia, that this would have been a very large caravan with many people and perhaps many magi. Of course, our Christian Christmas hymn states there were three kings. But the Bible doesn't say three kings. The Bible says three gifts. There are many resources if you want to delve more into this about the magi. But we're going to focus in on our three points. And first, the Magi were attentive. They were experts in observing and interpreting the stars regarding seasons, regarding omens, and regarding signs. They came from a long line, generations of others who'd been charting the stars, who'd spent their lives watching, understanding, knowing where everyone was so that they would know when something was out of place. Now, think about our night sky. You see many, many stars on a clear night. But have you ever been to the wilderness far away from cities? I see many of you nodding. What do you notice in the sky in those places? Millions more stars. Take a look at this picture. This gives you a sense of the sky that the Magi were experts in observing, where you can see the Milky Way. This is from a remote area of California. Billions of stars. And yet the Magi charted and knew every one of them. They knew when they might be out of place or different. Now you see the brighter light at the bottom of this. What would that be? Venus, how about that? I was just expecting somebody to say a planet. Tracy gets the gold star today. It's a planet. So for generations, the Magi had dedicated their lives to observing the stars and the appearances of the planets and the movement of the planets. They knew what to expect. They knew that's Venus, where it's going to go, what its meaning is. They knew about all of the brighter lights, and it's in that context, being attentive, paying attention, that they see a new star. Verse 2. They see a new star at its rising. Verse 2 says in our Bibles, when it rose. The Greek word literally means at its rising. Now, rising can mean the east. There are some older Bible translations that say they saw the star in the east. Well, you can think of rising in terms of east when you consider the sun, but that's not what the Magi are saying. They came from the eastern regions and they traveled from Persia west, so they couldn't have seen the star in the east. They saw the star at its rising in their western sky. They were attentive. They were paying attention. They knew the star was no ordinary heavenly light. Something new. Something had happened. In verse 2, they announced their arrival in Jerusalem. Take a look. Saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." They know who the star is connected to because they've done their homework. They've researched according to their expertise that this is the star signifying the birth of the King of the Jews. They know the meaning of this star. They're attentive. And now to our second point, they were persevering. They saw the star and they knew that it had huge implications, announcing the birth of the Jewish king. And then they hopped in their SUVs and drove for a couple hours across the country. No, this wasn't a quick journey. The Magi were persevering. They saw the star and they prepared for a long journey. They knew they were following a star. They didn't know where it would take them. They prepared for a long journey, ensuring that they would not miss this king. They were persevering. Now, contrary to most Christmas pageants and nativity scenes, the Magi didn't find Jesus immediately after his birth. At least we've moved the shepherds off to the side, and the Magi are there. They didn't find him in the stable, so this now represents a house, because scriptures testify that they found him in verse 11 in the house. Scriptures do testify they arrived much later, as seen in King Herod's murderous response in verse 16. Actually, looking back, verse 7, Herod summoned the wise men, ascertained from them what time the star had appeared, so he knew when. And then, verse 16, Herod, when he saw the wise men didn't come back, they had tricked him. He killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all the region who were 2 years old or under. He was pretty sure that it was at least 2 years before. He wanted to make sure he killed him. The Magi's journey had taken a long, long time following the star. Now, estimates say a caravan from Persia would take roughly 2 to 3 months. But they weren't going from point A to point B. They didn't know where they were going. They were following a star. It was going to take as long as God had it take. Now, the Magi packed wealth, resources, food. I'm sure they packed monies and supplies to barter with should they have to buy more food to ensure that they would make it. They persevered. Their lives were dedicated to being attentive to omens in the stars. And they knew this was the big one, so important that they had to go and they had to persevere to get there. The Magi were attentive, they were persevering, and finally they were devoted. After months and months of following the star, they arrive in Jerusalem. The star brings them there. Now, if you're seeking a king who has been born, where would you look? In a palace. If there's a palace, surely the king would be born there. They arrive at King Herod's palace. What do they say? Verse 2. Where is he who had been born king of the Jews? And they arrived at King Herod's palace. Okay. Who's King Herod king of? He's king of the Jews. He is king of the Jews. And they come and they say, where is he who's been born king of the Jews? You wonder, why did Herod freak out? Well, history declares that King Herod's already paranoid at this state, at this stage of his rule. He's involved in much intrigue regarding succession to his throne. He had 10 wives, many potential successors, and he rewrote his will 6 times at the end of his life, killing various potential heirs along the way. He wasn't well in the head. During that season, that paranoid season, the Magi arrived declaring, hey, the king of the Jews has been born. And Herod goes nuts. A challenge to my throne. So verse 4, King Herod summons who to inquire about the birth of the Messiah? Who did he summon? The Jewish religious leaders, the chief priests, and the scribes. Okay, the scribes were experts in understanding what? Scripture, the law, right? They knew Scripture, and yet they missed the signs. This doesn't say then that Jewish religious leaders and the scribes went with the wise men. Religious knowledge isn't enough. They missed the signs. So the Magi are told by the scribes, the religious leaders, the birthplace of the Christ is in Bethlehem. The Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem. So verse 9, after listening to the king, they went on their way. You would expect towards Bethlehem, because that's what they've been told. But then verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly. That would probably involve a party, dancing. They rejoiced. They see the star again, and now they're following it to wherever it took them. Remember, God's in charge here. Might have been Bethlehem. Might have been. It was wherever the house was that Jesus was. And there, the extent of their devotion is revealed because they didn't arrive after months upon months of traveling to give this king leftover provisions. Here's our dry bread. Here's the change that we have. You know, it took us much longer than we expected. There were tolls, flat tires. Doesn't say that. Verse 11. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary's mother. They fell down. They worshiped this foreign king. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts. They fell down, they worshiped, and they opened their treasures. They came prepared. For those 2 years or however long it took, months upon months, they had these treasures in store, not to use to buy food, but as a gift. They give their all to this new king, their treasures, significant gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, we're told. The most highly valued resources from Persia. They didn't bring dates. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. The Magi were devoted. They gave their lives to this quest. They left their homelands behind. They left their comforts behind. You imagine in a journey of that magnitude for upwards of 2 years, possibly some of their traveling party would have died. There would have been hardship. They left it all. They risked it all, bringing their treasures, holding nothing back, humbling themselves, prostrate before this king of another religion. Because this was not just any king, but the king. They knew it. The prophesied Jewish king and Messiah. So 3 characteristics of the Magi: attentive, persevering, and devoted. They found him. And today, you can know him. We know the rest of the story through eyewitness accounts and the early church letters recorded in Holy Scriptures. We know him. And I want you to consider today, in light of these magi, how does your life reflect these three characteristics? Being attentive, persevering, and devoted. So this is the season of New Year's resolutions, and we make them, we keep them for as long as we can. And now for true confessions, how many of you have already broken one of your resolutions? Oh, come on. Yeah, I know. I knew there were some hands. I want to suggest to you a new way of doing resolutions, because it's how I do resolutions, because I can't do anything consistently for a year. So I choose to practice new days resolutions. Every day, they're new. I get a fresh beginning. It works. Now, you each will have your own list of resolutions that you want to renew and keep each day, whether for health or nutrition or exercise or work or organization or reading. I suggest you treat those resolutions, your resolutions, as new each day. Each day you thank the Lord for a new opportunity to follow him and a new opportunity to keep these resolutions. And I suggest that you add to whatever your list is for this season or for this year, three, well, let's just call them magi resolutions. Not magic resolutions, magi resolutions. Resolutions that will move you toward living and reflecting the three characteristics of the magi. So how might you be more attentive to the Lord? Well, he's given us his living word. He's given us all that we need. I lost my place and I'm looking for it. For myself, I've been seeking to be more attentive through God's word. The Magi watched the stars. They were looking for signs. They were attentive. And we have the sign. And we have the living word. So I've been seeking every day to spend some time in the Psalms, a few of them. And I seek to use my own radio time in the car to listen to Scripture. There are Bible apps, or you can buy it, but listening to Scripture. And what I'm finding is it's more familiar each time. It's more transforming each time. Each time I hear those Scriptures over and over again, there's more access for God to either convict me of it or to use it in my life. So that's how I'm being more attentive. How might you be more attentive? Now, how might you be more persevering in your faith? The Magi's discovery of the star caused massive change to their lives. They had to leave everything behind to follow one priority, and it took a long time. I imagine if there had been road rage then, they would have been frustrated. Are we there yet? Their priority was to find and worship Jesus, and they persevered. The Magi's perseverance was visible because all who would have encountered them on this journey would have said something to the effect of, "You're not from around here, are you? What are you doing here? Where are you going?" And they would have responded, "We are following that star. We are pursuing the King of the Jews. We go to worship." Jesus is alive. Amen? He is alive, and he still lives. And through faith in his name, all can have new life now and eternal life after death. In Christ, we have that gift of new life. And Jesus also asks for everything, in much the same way the Magi gave their everything. So in what ways are you persevering in your faith, in your life, as you follow him? The Magi's perseverance, as we discussed, was visible. Is your perseverance visible to anyone? Finally, the Magi were devoted. How might you be more devoted? They held nothing back from this Messiah. They humbled themselves. They worshiped this foreign king. God told them to through the star, and they obeyed. They submitted everything to him. They held no priorities back, no other commitments back. They gave up everything. They held back no treasure. Does your life reflect the Magi's devotion? And is your devotion visible to anyone? What may the Lord be asking you to submit and devote to him in a new way today or this year. My vision for this church, Church of the Redeemer, is that we, God's people here, will be recognizable as His people in the world. That we will not be invisible blending in, but we will be visible as followers of Jesus Christ. My vision is that through our knowing Christ, through our growing together in faith and in community, and in our going out together in mission, the world will see and know that we are His followers. The world will see our attentiveness to Him, our perseverance in faith, and our devotion to the King of the Jews. And the world will be drawn to Him as they see it in us. That they will be transformed by Him and that His kingdom will continue to grow and expand. All for the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.